Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to share rules, norms, and respect, we're not obligated to even consider your opinion anymore, because that's what the social contract is. Get the pay to play. It's that important. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipping Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today, welcoming any new listeners just joining us. We're here having a good time. We hope you do too. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We will be discussing the secret technique 9 out of 10 trust fund babies used to get rich. As always, I am joined by some fine, fascinating guests in the lounge today. We got Ron, the geologist apologist. Ron, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am awesome. What is up, everybody?
Hell yeah.
Glad to hear your voice.
Oh, is that Amber, my sister who loves woo-woo and thinks she's always right too? Amber, how are you doing today?
I'm running a little behind this morning, but I am here and ready to go.
You know, they should put that on our family crest.
It might be our family motto. Yeah, you're right.
And we are also joined by Jamie Lynn, the druidess, who's just so damn good at this. Jamie Lynn, how are you doing this fine morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Kind of wondering what that 10th rich kid was doing. Trust fund baby, who is it? What's he got going on? Why isn't he going with everybody
straight
else?
Straight up his nose. too many drugs. We've got a really fun and informative show for everyone today, brought to you by the Knights Templar, putting the knight back in nightlife. That pun is a lot more fun on paper, by the way.
It almost landed.
We're gonna take a quick look back at the Mountain Meadows Massacre in Utah back way back in 1860. Apologies, I had this date. 1857 is when that happened.
Wow.
We got some hot science news. We're going to be talking about talking plants. And we're going to be talking about gender hormones and the Olympics, because that's going on. We've got some bullshit and snake oil involving fake kidnappings. We're going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Checking Time involving the Olympics, cigarettes, and the election.
Ooh.
And of course, we're going to wrap things up with a feel-good story about liberating Americans from Russian prisons.
Okay.
We do encourage everyone. Yeah, it's good stuff. Feel-good stuff. We do encourage everyone to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. Maybe you want to send us a text or voice message. You could do so at 443-499-8253. Or you can just drop a comment on one of our socials. We're on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. We're on all the cool hip stuff. I'm with it. I'm groovy, yo.
We're cool kids.
Yeah.
Look at us being groovy.
All right, we ready to start this shindig? Let's head on over to the time machine.
Let's get going.
Let's get it on the road.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
Welcome to the time machine. Today we're gonna talk about the Mountain Meadows Massacre. And now, before I get started, Amber, did you want to give people a quick rundown about what exactly the Mountain Meadows Massacre is?
Well, I'm not super... No, I don't know what the word is. My words are not coming today, folks. So sorry.
Okay. It's fine.
I don't know a ton of details. I just know that it was a heinous act by a bunch of Mormon settlers who pretty much wiped out an entire community of Native Americans, I believe it was.
That would never happen.
I know.
That would never happen.
I'm talking
close
rubbish again.
It was heinous. It wasn't a group of Native Americans. They wiped out a wagon train and blamed it on the Native Americans.
That's what it was.
So
how rude.
So back before Utah was a state, it was a theocracy. It was a United States territory, but it was ruled by the Mormon Church.
So much like it is now, but now they're a state with a theocracy.
Right.
God,
right.
Sorry.
Right. This theocracy had a lot of tension with the United States government, as you might imagine, because, you know, the Christian nationalists weren't as in charge at the time. So they had polygamy going on.
They're trying hard.
In the 1850s, they had lots of polygamy, theocratic rule. They weren't following federal laws. In 1857, President Buchanan, believing that the Mormons were in open rebellion, which I agree with, actually sent the army to Utah and what became known as the Utah Expedition. So at one point, the Mormon Church was preparing for war against the United States government.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Mormon.
Good luck.
Right.
Ask the Native Americans
right?
how that
right?
went. Yeah. Right. Oh, sad.
The leader of the Mormon Church at the time, Brigham Young, declared martial law in the Utah territory, and he forbid the U.S. troops to enter the territory and instructed local militias to prepare for defense.
Did they listen?
They did not. And Amber, do you remember being taught about this in seminary when we were teenagers, about the federal government marching into Utah?
Not with any historical accuracy.
I remember sitting in a seminary class and having the guy, he's like, look, it became clear to Brigham Young that they could still maintain all of the God's principles and just pay lip service to the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
They went ahead and let the troops march in Salt Lake City, but they were stationed and ready to burn it to the ground if the troops stopped. The agreement was they could march through, but they couldn't stop or occupy. It was like, yeah, that sounds exactly what a loser would say.
Wow.
That is a shit ton long way to walk to just walk through Utah. Give me a break.
Passing through, guys.
Those guys wanted to rob my house.
72 hours of walking.
They wanted to rob my house, and I said no. But we agreed they could come in,
keep walking,
and look at things. But I was ready to break those things if you took this.
Right. Yeah.
I was in control the entire time.
The illusion of control.
Right. Okay, so there's like this super tension going on, and they stoke it to this day. The us versus them. The Mormon Church is really big on the everybody's out to get us. It's us versus the world. That ideology.
It's great for money making.
Oh yeah. And keeping people in line. And most importantly, keeping people distrustful of any outside information. Like if somebody says.
Sounds like any religion.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, the Mormons didn't invent thought control. They just practice it.
No, but they have mastered it.
They have. So it was in this environment that a group of settlers moving west to California, the Baker Fancher Party. It was several groups of people from northwestern Arkansas. They assembled a wagon train and they started their emigration to Southern California, like so many other Americans before them, including the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Including the Mormons. That's how the Mormons got to Utah, by the way. Wagon train.
They didn't just magically sprout there.
Right.
So this wagon train is, by contemporary standards, prosperous, organized, well-equipped. Other families and people from like Missouri as they passed through were like, oh, we'll join this wagon train because there's safety numbers. We do know that there were perils crossing the open plains, right?
Yeah. I played Oregon Trail.
We all played Oregon Trail, right? So they, being relatively wealthy, they planned to restock their supplies in Salt Lake City, like a lot of wagon trains did. Their timing was pretty bad because it was at the height of this sentiment of everybody's out to get us. The sentiment of the U.S. government's coming to I don't know, kill and rape us. Oh, apologies. That's not what they're... The U.S. government's coming, and they're going... They're led by Satan, and they're going to subvert Jesus's will, those evil bastards.
There it is.
There you go.
There it is.
They want to take away our religious freedom.
So it's August of 1857, and the Baker Fancher Party was refused stocks in Salt Lake City. So the anti-foreigner sentiment, and this is funny. This is why I tell people why racism is so dumb. Like, you right now, it's the southern border in Mexico, but here in 1850s Utah, it was the Utah border. They're crossing our border. They're not sending their best and brightest. They're coming. They're gonna take your jobs.
They're gonna ruin the state. Yep.
Take our women.
They're gonna outbreed us.
I don't know if people can outbreed the Mormons. Likely. They know how to raw dog.
I don't think that
sure.
could happen.
Well, we can try.
You go right ahead, Rod.
The Baker Fancher Party. They get refused in Salt Lake. They decide to take the old Spanish Trail, passing through southern Utah. There were some Mormon settlers there that were like, oh yeah, go camp here. It's near my land. You'll have good water. Like they had some neighborly people.
Mm-hmm.
Most witnesses said the wagon train was a peaceful party and members were well behaved. But as they moved south from Salt Lake after being denied restocking, rumors began to fly all over the Mormon rumor mill about how they were evil. These evil bastards.
Oh, man.
The people accused them of poisoning a spring near Corn Creek, Utah, which resulted in the death of 18 cows and two or three people that ate the meat of those cows.
Yeah, sounds like a tall tale.
In a time where, in a time and place where they didn't even have telegraphs, you know.
What? You mean that they would just say whatever?
Fake news has been a thing forever.
No
anyway,
way.
The,
You're blowing my mind, Lisa.
After the fact, I should note that the, one of the military people leading the investigation determined, like, there was no way this wagon train would have had enough poison to poison the well of that size. He was like, "Are you serious?
Yeah,
like,
what, no way.
Why were they? Why would they be carrying
even
100
if they wanted
pounds
to.
Of poison to poison a well? Yeah. Like what? What? No wagon train does that.
Especially
dude, they're evil.
Since they needed that room for provisions,
food and water
to get themselves where they were going. But okay, poison definitely what they would." Spend all that space on.
Already, like,
these
rumors are flying, and now you've got,
Oh, I was just gonna say, it's really, really disturbing.
Yeah.
How quickly
people
jump to, like, the worst case and believe the worst case scenario.
I feel like that's going to be the theme of today's show.
So they made it. The Corn Creek's well that they supposedly poisoned was about 125 miles from Mountain Meadows, where they made it to on their way trying to get out of Utah and into California. And this is when Mormon leaders started meeting and trying to figure out what to do. Because Brigham Young, the leader of Utah, had already declared martial law, which means anything goes if you're the authority. And these people are the authority.
Right.
So they discussed a plan for a Native American massacre, but they couldn't agree on the details and how they wanted it to go down. So they sent a writer to Brigham Young to ask him about it. And...
What are your thoughts, sir?
Write our script for us.
He's done
hey boss, how do you want all this moita to go down? We don't know.
He told us to do it.
As
who's
best
doing
as
casting?
We know, Brigham Young didn't hear about it in time, like, because there's no telegraph, so it was going to take somebody like 6 days to do a round trip riding at full gallop to get from Mountain Meadows to Salt Lake and back. So we don't know that he actively said, no, you need to, need to take care of these people. We don't know. There's no evidence either way. But the best evidence we have is that Brigham Young would not have had the time. He wouldn't have gotten these messages in time to have been the person to authorize the killing. He's certainly the person who propagated the ideologies. He's certainly the person who initiated martial law. He bears responsibility even if he didn't pull the trigger, right? Like, he handed him the gun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
He set the scene.
Yeah, if he hadn't already declared martial law, they may not have thought about wiping out the wagon train. They might not have shared resources. They might have chased him off.
If he hadn't called them all to the capital and said it was going to be wild and told them to march. Oh, wait, that's something else. Sorry.
Exactly.
My paddle brain. I just get so easily confused.
Tourists. Yes, they were just tourists.
So these people, they're resting for a few days because Mountain Meadows was lots of wagon trains rested there. It had good water, had good grazing for the animals. It was open ground, so you could see from all directions if somebody was coming at you.
Yeah, it was a good stopping place.
Check it out on Wikipedia. They've got a nice panoramic photo. You can scroll and check out from 2009. It's a nice little meadow. So they stop there and they're just resting up. And lo and behold, some Native Americans appear out of nowhere and start attacking them.
Were they white?
Well,
light skinned
and speaking English, but.
and using did, pistoles.
Did that native guy have a Boston accent? Damn.
He's traveled far.
So they circled the wagons, they dug trenches. They were doing a decent job of defending themselves. It went on for 5 days.
Oh, yeah, they tried really hard.
5 days. They didn't have water. They didn't have outside food or water, and they repelled this attack.
Wow.
Yeah, and...
Well, they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah. So eventually, two Mormon militiamen approached the party wagons with a white flag, followed by an Indian agent and militia officer named John D. Lee. An Indian agent was someone the government authorized to interact with American Indian tribes on behalf of the government. Mm-hmm. So this was like, was the Native American liaison, right? This is the guy.
Yeah, he's the like, government rep.
This is my job. My job is to talk to Native Americans and work shit out, okay? John D. Lee.
Right.
And they're like, hey, we've negotiated a truce. You're going to be under Mormon protection now. We're gonna escort you safely back to Cedar City. It's 36 miles away. All you have to do is turn over all your livestock and supplies over to these feisty Native Americans. They want something.
Does that make sense?
They got to have something.
Just give us all your and we'll protect you.
They're going to kill you if you don't give them all this your stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't protect you there, but we'll protect you on the way to the city.
Yeah, exactly. We're not gonna bring our militia to save you. Anyway, very, very telling aspect of the story, right? So these poor beleaguered people who have 5 days of terror, and where 7 of them have already died, 16 are wounded. They said, "Okay."
Let's also note that they've been traveling for who knows how long. Like, that is not a restful experience. Right. Yeah. Like, they were resting for a reason.
They've been through a lot.
The fact that they lasted 5 days is phenomenal.
Yeah, you had some real badasses there. Huh. So they accept the offer. They were led out of their fortification, the men separated from the women and children. They had a militia escort. The militia was escorting the men, and a signal was given, mm-hmm. and the militiamen just turned and opened fire and shot and killed them all. And another militia group,
cold-blooded murder,
that was nearby, mm-hmm. hiding in the bushes and ravines, set on the women and children and killed them.
Oh yeah!
They
killed every single member. They left of that party.
They left 17 small children alive, and one of them, who was 4 years old at the time, later as an adult recounted and said, "No, no, I can remember. They let us live because they said we were too small to be able to talk about it." There was a 12-year-old girl. Wow. Originally, it was 18 kids, but the 12-year-old girl, they said, no, she's going to tell people, and they killed her in front of the other 17 kids.
Holy fuck.
Damn.
How do you do that? Man, you got to swallow that Kool-Aid, seriously.
Listen,
you have to really believe that 12-year-old girl is going to be the downfall of your society.
The scary thing is they're not special.
Religion.
Humans are susceptible to this.
I know.
When you have it's the us versus them mentality. They are so hardcore in the us versus them, and these people are the them, and the them is going to destroy us. So we have to destroy them.
Right.
Once you other someone, it's much easier to do harm.
Yeah, so, you know, they killed kids. They spread out the 17 remaining between some Mormon families after this whole investigation got sidelined by the Civil War, but it got picked back up afterward. When the government came and rescued those kids and took them back to their families in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. The report was Lynch's, one of the government guys, U.S. Army guy, Captain James Lynch, his affidavit added that when he first saw the children, they had little or no clothing and were covered in filth and dirt. So they weren't even being cared for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
They're probably just being fed.
Wow.
A wretched condition, half starved, half naked, filthy, infested with vermin, their eyes diseased from the cruel neglect to which had been exposed.
Yeah. Poor babies.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's awful. Absolutely awful.
Gotta love mankind.
These were nice, pious people perpetrated this, right?
They lived by Jesus' word, Ron. Don't you know? The guy that said, turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor. Unless they're brown, apparently.
Mm-hmm. That guy? Suffer the little children.
No, it's murder the children. That's the message somewhere.
They did bring some people to justice after the fact. One of the guys named Philip Klingensmith was a bishop in the Mormon church. He left the church and later turned state's evidence. And his testimony provided a lot of the details into how the Mormon church was directly responsible and how they organized it.
He grew a conscience.
Well, I mean,
somebody did.
He also participated in the massacre and then didn't do time because he flipped. So it's, I don't know if we can really call him a hero. Mm-hmm. He's definitely valuable, and I don't want to belittle his contribution, but he didn't stand up to him at the time. I don't know. He might have been against it, but when you're one guy against 50.
Definitely not a hero.
But only one man, the Major John Lee, the Indian agent, was the only one actually given the death penalty. And
really?
He got the firing squad. And his last words were like, I'm just the scapegoat for all the other motherfuckers who are really responsible.
I mean, he's not too far off the truth
He's not wrong.
He's not.
Yeah, no. Brigham Young should have been arrested, and he should have been the one to get the death penalty.
Okay, so in some crazy maneuvering, Brigham Young was briefly arrested. But he was arrested by, let's see. So in March 1859, a federal judge was brought into the territory. He convened a grand jury in Provo to investigate the massacre. But that jury of Mormon people declined any indictments. That guy then toured Mountain Meadows.
Shocking.
He attempted to arrest that guy, John D. Lee, and a couple of the other conspirators, and they all fled. That judge publicly charged Brigham Young as an instigator of the massacre and an accessory. So a Mormon territorial probate court judge named Elias Smith went and arrested Young under a territorial warrant.
Okay.
So therefore, which would...
Interesting.
And by doing so, that would divert any trial of Brigham Young into a friendly Mormon territorial court.
Mm-hmm.
See? If the feds arrest him, it goes to federal court. But the
It goes to federal.
Yeah, the territorial judge arrests him.
These sneaky bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And later, there were no federal charges pursued against Young, so he was released. If he was ever actually put in a jail, which I sincerely doubt.
Yeah. He never was. I promise you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
He was king.
He was. In 1870, like 13 years after the fact, Brigham Young actually removed some of the participants from the church. He was like, well, maybe now that Civil War's over and the the vultures are circling and danger's about, maybe now I'll say, well, these guys, they're not members of the church anymore.
Look, see, we purged them. We got rid of the instigators.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Good PR.
Today, historians, they all come at this a little differently. There are three approaches tend to be taken by historians. They either portray the white Mormon settlers as fundamentally good, and the Baker Fancher Party as evil people who were committing outrageous acts of anti-Mormon instigation.
You have to justify your
act. There are historians that take that line. It's true. You, of course, have the polar opposite. The perpetrators were evil and the emigrants were innocent, which is what we're talking about today, which, honestly, if you look at it with the lens of what makes the most sense, that little group of settlers terrorizing through Utah, fucking shit up, or that psycho paranoid religious militia under martial law went and picked on a little wagon train, which do you think's more likely with everything we know about history, right? The third view is both the perpetrators and victims of the massacre were complicated. Many different coinciding circumstances led the Mormon settlers to commit an atrocity against travelers who, regardless of the authenticity of any unfounded claims of anti-Mormon behavior, did not deserve the punishment of death. So some try to thread that needle and take a more nuanced path. I don't think you need any nuance when you have a group of people slaughtered.
I'm sure.
No.
I'm sure there were complicating factors.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse an entire group from the horrible, heinous things that they did. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter what complicated issue there might be present. It doesn't justify wiping out an entire group of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it really, like, sure, you can have the viewpoint that, you know, it's complicated. Yeah, it's humans. We're complicated people. But you don't excuse that behavior just because it's complicated.
Very tellingly to me, before 1985, textbooks available in Utah public schools blamed the Native Americans as being responsible for the massacre. Yep. They still, with the evidence that the Mormon leadership in the area was right from the get-go, like, well, let's do a false flag Native American attack. Like, they taught that to the kids in Utah in public schools.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was the narrative I was given in seminary.
Hey.
Because they did talk about it, but it was they were attacking us. We were protecting ourselves.
Yeah.
That's always the narrative.
Of course.
You just got a little carried away.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back in the time machine. Let's get back to a better time when people and religions aren't inciting political violence.
You know, you see that, but... Shit.
When was that?
We either have to go so far into prehistory before language,
or we got to go so far into post history after the sun's gone Nova, I think.
Choose your poison.
All right.
Ooh, too soon, too soon.
Too soon. Too soon. let's talk about some news. Let's talk about some news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Okay, all right. We got something a little different today. Amber and Jamie Lynn have both brought us some stories today. I want to talk about Amber's first because I feel like we're going to talk about Jamie Lynn's longer. Mm-hmm. So, Amber.
Okay, plants are cool. Plants are cool. I can talk all day long Amber, about plants with Amber.
What's happening?
Just
tell us what's going on.
So.
I know.
It's so, did you know that plants can talk? Like, I didn't know plants could talk. But apparently,
like Dr. Doolittle?
They do.
They can communicate in a way, yeah.
Yeah, right? Somewhat. Mm-hmm.
But how? And do we understand it?
We're starting to. So there's a groundbreaking study that was done. And in this study, researchers discovered that when plants are stressed, whether it be they were cut, they don't have enough water, some kind of stressor, they emit an ultrasonic sound, which we can't hear.
Hell yeah.
But they suppose that there's probably some animals and other plants can mm-hmm. hear
other plants
these sounds. Yeah. So in the ultrasonic mm-hmm. range, but they're similar to in volume to a normal conversation. So we can't hear mm-hmm. ultrasonic sounds, but those that can, it's like a normal conversational volume wow. to them. Yeah. So they use mm-hmm. these really sensitive microphones and they set up an experiment with tomato plants and tobacco plants. And they uh-huh. introduced various variables, dehydration, stem cutting, and they found mm-hmm. that when the plants were stressed, they emitted a significant number of sounds in response to the stress. So, for example, a thirsty tomato plant could produce up mm-hmm. to 35 sounds an hour.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So they found that depending on the type of stress and the type of plant would determine how talkative that they were. And mm-hmm. they don't really know exactly how this is happening yet. But mm-hmm. they're definitely doing more research into it. So what it sounds like to us when we convert it, I guess, from ultrasonic, is it sounds a little bit like bubble wrap being popped is what the news,
really?
The study is revealing. And so this bubble popping sound is too high for us, but they have also, there are different kinds of mechanisms to hearing or detecting these sounds. And yeah, I totally need to so this is what sent me down this rabbit hole. Of course, TikTok, because uh-huh. that's what I do when I can't sleep. And then I can't sleep because I'm down a rabbit hole. But I was watching TikTok.
Yeah.
And there, I guess there's this.
But texting me about it always helps.
I usually do text you. I'm like, look at this. This is so cool. I mean, somebody has to.
I'm down a rabbit hole. Come on with me.
That's right. I don't like to be alone. Come down this rabbit hole.
Nobody sleeps.
Right? If I'm not sleeping, you're not sleeping. And so the lady recording the TikTok, she had a couple different varieties of roses in this garden. And there are these little electrodes that you can attach to the leaves. And that
wow.
sends the ultrasonic sounds to an app on your phone, which translates it into music. It is the coolest thing.
I saw somebody do this with Joshua Tree.
Very cool.
Yes.
I saw somebody do it, and I played it for Dan, and it was the weirdest sounding, surreal, like, funky music I've ever heard. It was weird.
But cool. Wow. Yeah, but so cool. And the different roses, the two different rose plants, had two different, distinct
language
sounds. They were singing different songs.
Cool.
It was so cool.
Wow, sweet.
And so, yeah, they're supposing that these sounds of distress are, you know, cries, like they're crying. The plants are crying because they're stressed out. I know.
Right.
I'm like,
and I've read in that in some species of trees, you know, there's got to be some sort of communication involved, that they are connected via roots.
Yep.
And,
you know, different trees that are connected. Mm-hmm. And this one species I was reading about, if there's a particular tree that is struggling, all the trees collectively will shunt resources its way to help the one struggling tree in that stand of trees.
Yes.
That's crazy cool.
Yeah, there's definitely coordination and, hey, little guy over there needs our help.
It's absolutely amazing. Cool.
It's not unlike the mushroom, the mycelia network. I know, like what Ron was talking about, there's a bunch of aspens, and there's reason if you watch them, they all turn color at the same time because they're all interconnected with their root system. It's an amazing colony. In fact, I think one of the largest living organisms is one of those tree collections.
Wow. Yep. Yes. Yeah, also, closer to home here, creosote. Creosote's another organism that's that way, where you can have acres of creosote flats where that's functionally one plant. But there are individual plants that are clones, but they're all connected by their root system. And you can see if you go on Google Earth, Google Maps, look at satellite imagery, especially in the Mojave Desert, it's famous for it. You can see rings. They call them creosote rings, where the center is where the first plant originally started, and it's long died out in the center, and it's just sort of spread out. While the center slowly dies back, the outside spreads out, and you end up with like a donut of creosote.
That's crazy.
But it's all one plant, and again, it's one of the largest living organisms if you count all those acres of creosote.
I didn't know that, Ron.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's really, really awesome.
Well, plants definitely like reach out to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you have nurse plants that nurse other plants, like you have in the Sonoran Desert. You have trees that will nurse a small growing saguaro when it's vulnerable to predation or getting trampled upon. And of course, that tree is definitely not going to outlive that saguaro. That tree is going to sacrifice its life at some point to help that saguaro out.
Well, researchers did find that when plants are touching, they transmit those electrical signals between them.
Oh, so they're just trying to talk.
So it would make sense that, they're talking to each other. They're like, hey, I'm struggling. I need a little help. And the plant's like, come here, I'll hold you and help you.
I just moved in next door.
Exactly.
You guys swing.
So there's this whole community. Can you swim? Come on over for a barbecue sometime.
That's right. We're having a key party. All right. let's move on and talk about Jamie Lynn's thing. Thank you, Amber. That was some really, really good stuff about plants. And I didn't know a lot of that.
I'll send the links. We'll put the links in the show episode.
All right, Jamie Lynn, what's going on with some boxer? Some boxing competition? Everybody loves boxing. Uh-uh. People punching
Everybody.
People.
Okay, so
with consent.
With consent. You got to have the consent bit.
Yes.
I enjoy the Olympics like any person, but I don't really get into it. And I know everyone's like been totally on one side or the other of this boxing. The women's boxing has taken a steep dive into shenanigans because of, and I'm going to mispronounce her name, Iman Khalif. Anyone correct me? I think that's correct.
The Algerian boxer
apparently failed some testosterone test of some test that would get them into IBA, and the Olympics allowed her to fight, and so now there's this huge kerfuffle because is she woman, is she not? That's like super basic. So right. I go down the rabbit hole of, you're welcome, Amber, of, okay, what's going on? And you want to immediately choose a side, right? There shouldn't be a man fighting women and everything. Okay, so putting that aside, because I know we're going to get into a lot of that in a moment, here's some backstory that I discovered reading an article today. So the corporation, the institute that banned her and said she was not able to fight is IBA, right? The International Boxing Association. And they said she failed some indeterminate tests that they don't reveal the details of and said, I'm sorry. Oh. Yeah, no, no details, just some gender eligibility tests. That's all we know, okay?
She failed our secret test.
She failed the secret test. We can't tell you.
You may
about
not
it.
See the results.
You may not. So
hey,
like,
you know what, Jamie Lynn? You also failed my secret test.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna be talking.
You also can't compete in the IBA. Sorry.
Yes, I cannot.
Disqualified.
Okay, so she was disqualified, right? Okay, so let's take it back one more step. Just before she was disqualified, guess who she beat in a match? A Russian.
Uh-huh.
Really?
I forget the name of the Russian. I don't see it listed. But this person, Iman Khalif, beat a Russian who had a sterling record. Like, they were unbeaten. And guess who takes him out? Khalif. So, IBA is like, you didn't pass their gender eligibility test. The Olympics have a back history with these guys. And they're like, guess what, IBA? We don't like that your main guy supports Gazprom. And Gazprom happens to be the Russian industry that supports all of Russia and is in the war against Ukraine. And the Olympics were like, we don't like that. You support Russia fighting Ukraine. We don't support you. So either ditch that support or we're not going to recognize you. So IBA now has dumped this gender eligibility to not only protect their unbeaten Russian, who is now beaten, but also doused gasoline on this fire of gender during the Olympics, because the Olympics were like, no, she's a woman. She's clearly a woman. And you haven't released your testing. So, yeah.
Right.
Can I just say there's some Russians back there? I'm channeling my cousin Vicky. She is huge into the Russian conspiracies, and it's written
all
over
the thing.
Right?
It's not surprising at all, sadly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I love this story. I love this story because you get to watch the conservative doublethink in real time.
Apart.
Because they're anti-trans and they're saying, just because you got rid of your penis and you've taken hormone stuff, you're not a woman. A woman is born with a vagina.
Period.
Here we have Iman Khalif born with a vagina. And they're like, hold on, no, it's not your genitals, it's your hormones.
Fuck off.
Wait, move those goalposts?
What the fuck? You can't believe both those things.
Oh, yeah, you can. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's what we do.
Cognitive dissonance. It truly is. And it's just, the Russians know how to get us involved in this. They know. They're tapped into Mike Johnson.
Oh, absolutely. Right? They know what buttons.
And how come when an athlete like Michael Phelps, whose body produces less lactic acid, makes him superhuman in the pool, we consider that badass and amazing, and look at that guy go.
Okay.
You got
that's
a woman who's got a little more testosterone, she can kick a little more ass, you know? We have to disqualify her. She's a man.
If this was a man with two Y chromosomes kicking ass in the boxing world. Great point, Ron. Michael Phelps is the exact example that invalidates all of their bullshit.
Yeah.
He has an unfair advantage of. Right?
Yeah. We put him on drugs so he gets more lactic acid like the average human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because that's unfair.
No,
She's got more testosterone, so she's winning. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
I get it. That's what the Olympics, that's what they do. They find these people. They find these humans who have the elevated evolutionary
edge.
And the funny part is, well, until this happened, and I'm just telling you, the Russians, man, they know what the fuck they're doing. They know which buttons to push. She's competed in boxing championships. She's been in the Olympics before. She's been beaten.
And not only there that, these accusations endanger her life at home.
Oh, my goddess. Oh, they're
absolutely.
So bad. And
yeah, her country outlaws transgenderism.
The truth doesn't matter. You know, nope. Her life's in danger when she goes home because of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Dan. Algeria is Muslim and they are very anti-trans. Very. The fact that they would conceivably put up a trans person as their person.
That also invalidates the bullshittery. Yes.
It invalidates. But these people aren't stopping to think and they're like, Mike Johnson.
No.
She's a man. No, she's not. And you don't even know what the tests are. Literally, guys. We don't know what the tests are.
Right. We have no clue what they were even testing.
Right. The best guess that I've seen, that I've read, is that she may be intersex.
Right.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think I read one report that she may have, instead of ovaries, she has testicles, undescended testicles.
But okay, so what? She's still a woman. There are a lot of women who have naturally occurring high testosterone. Well,
absolutely.
Not usually it's connected to like a medical condition of some sort.
That's natural.
Like I have high testosterone. I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which causes high testosterone. I am plucking black hairs out of my chin all the time. I know women who have to shave or they have a beard. I do not box, but I should start.
Disqualified.
Yeah. Right? It's so infuriating that people won't look at science.
No. Well, and look at the human nature, too. I mean, come on, guys. I know there's a whole doping thing and there's a lot of things, but the far right, and I know the left can get into crazy, too, but we are so terrified as a culture that we can't identify boys and girls. And it's humiliating. Right. And to the fact that these Russians are sitting back, you know, they're smoking their cigars and just having a day with us because they got what they wanted.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what they're proving, but they've upset a lot. And this poor woman has to pay for it. It's just
It'll
sad.
Be interesting.
I was really pleased. Sorry, Amber. I was really pleased.
It's okay.
One of the past Olympians who beat her actually tweeted out that there is nothing, this gal is not cheating, there's nothing wrong with her, everybody just back off. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah
It seems to me she won the mental game, right? Her competitor like was out in the minute. Mm-hmm. did she give up?
She did because she got like, hit so hard.
She did.
She's like, I'm gonna die.
She got hit one punch.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, Jamie Lynn. I brought up Mike Tyson, who famously said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
right?
He was famous for taking very good boxers and knocking them out in the first round.
Yeah. Right.
There's a compilation out there of Mike Tyson first round knockouts.
Right.
And there's like 23 of them.
Right.
Okay,
wow.
That's boxing. You can be so good, you knock out your opponent.
Boxing.
And you know, and sometimes sports will change the rules because a freak of nature comes along. Just look at when Wilt Chamberlain in the NBA, they had to change a whole bunch of rules and ban things like dunking, touching the rim for a time because he's unstoppable.
Can I just add, I just saw this cool quote that just kind of, I don't know. It just sharpens my perspective on the whole thing. In an interview, Iman Khalif stated that her father did not want her to participate in boxing because it's not approved for girls.
Mm-hmm.
Her own dad, when she was a young 6-year-old, I think it says, she switched to boxing and her dad was like, nope, it's not for girls. Okay, guys, back the fuck off.
If you look at pictures of her growing up, she clearly is a girl. Like,
clearly.
She looks like a girl. It'll be interesting to see if there are any events or occurrences or, mm-hmm. you know, something that this is provided a distraction from.
You know, I want to believe that, and I'm hoping that the Olympics of the IOC handles this beautifully. I mean, they've kind of kerfuffled it this far, and the whole Russian thing, you never can manage their interference, but I'm hoping some good will come out of that. I'm hoping the IOC just supports her, and all of her sports people come around and support her. Even Carini, the Italian that she punched out, came back and said, I apologize. I should not. If I saw her today, I'd hug her. But the opposite end of that is really probably where it's going to go. It's going to be that dark, devious rabbit hole. And it's up to us to say, no, guys, stop, breathe, think.
Yep.
Yeah, let's
not cool.
Take a breath.
Reacting.
And think about it.
Yeah. Let's not be mean.
Well said. Well said. And on that note, let us move on, because that's a really heartening thought.
Good place to,
and a good place to stick a pin in that conversation. Anyhow, all right, all right. Let's move on. Let's play some fact checking time.
Do it.
Woohoo!
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. See, it's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the proof that all the kids call fact checking time.
Welcome to Fact Checking Time, everybody. A new show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. Today, Ron, you are playing as always for Poncho Cat, co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts. Whether you win or lose decides if he gets wet food for dinner or not. So
I will do my best. I am a little high right now, so I might do pretty bad, but we'll see.
Perfect. That's
So we take the, just so we take the pressure off of you, Ron, I think there's 2 weeks running that he got his wet food, and we had to – he's lazy, fat, fuck. We had to kind of cut back. Because he's not eating at all. Yeah. So no pressure.
There's some body fat he can live off of. Okay.
Yes, yes. If you don't pass, he's going to be okay.
I'm going to present a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media, but only one of them was fact-checked by an actual media outlet. It could be articles, social media posts, interview quotes. Only some of them have been fact-checked. You will have 1 minute to ask me questions before you can make your decision. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Let me load up 1 minute on the clock. Oh, wait. Let me load the right clock. It's a timer, not a stopwatch. All right. 1 minute. Okay. Let's begin. Either Moroccan soccer fans got the whole stadium booted during an Olympic soccer match, or a Turkish shooter in the Olympics took up the sport after a big fight with his ex-wife.
Okay.
Damn.
All right. I'm a little familiar with one of the stories. Okay.
Also, that Turkish guy is pretty badass. So
what's the news source on the Moroccan story?
I got the story from a French media outlet, Saint-Étienne, France.
Okay. And was this contemporary? When did this happen? Roughly?
This is 2024 Olympics. The game was July 24th.
Okay. Okay. I am going to say the Turkish shooter was fact-checked.
That is correct.
Damn, you can't.
That is correct.
Good job.
I figure on that one.
That guy is something else.
Since that story has kind of taken off so much in like the online universe and kind of gotten some legs on that, I figure whatever weird story that would come from that, would people might gravitate more towards fact checking some weird info that might be out there.
Bonus points, Ron. How was it fact checked?
Oof. How? Ooh.
True, false, or mixed?
Oh,
I know.
What were the results of the fact check?
I'm going to say true.
Bonus points. It was false. It was a satirical outlet wrote the story. Yeah. Yeah, they wrote up a little story about him being a mechanic working in a small garage. No, he's just an Olympic shooter.
It seems like something a badass would do, though.
Right? There's going to be a movie.
Yeah, right? He definitely is a badass.
Like, he's got that stone face. Right? He's just got that stone.
He's so nonchalant.
You know, cowboy.
Yeah.
I mean, he just walks up, raises
his gun.
He's
just got that casual badassery. I mean, he's like Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Took out the bad guy right there.
I think it's funny that this guy's been in the Olympics before and we're just now all sitting up and taking notice and going, wait, who?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. No, he's been in there like two or three times before, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. And the other story that did happen, it was the 16th minute of overtime in a match between Argentina and Morocco. And there was a late goal by Argentina, and the Moroccan fans flooded the pitch and threw bottles from the stands. Oof. And the stadium kicked the entire crowd out. And then the players finished the game.
That sounds appropriate.
You're out.
You're everybody all out of here.
See yourself out.
I don't care which one of you misbehaved. All you guys get out.
Doesn't matter. Everybody out. Okay. Next round.
Yes.
Either old sports photos have a blue haze because of all the cigarette smoking inside the stadium. Or Marathon Cigarettes were the official sponsor of the 1984 Olympics.
Oh, I don't envy Ron. Okay. I know he's going to pick right, but I don't envy him.
Right?
No pressure, Ron. I know you're going to pick right.
This is a good one, actually. Yeah.
Right?
Fuck. Okay. Old sports photos, blue hue, cigarette smoking.
You can do it.
That sounds I know that's bullshit, so that doesn't mean it wasn't fact-checked. Exactly. I am going to say Marathon Cigs, 1984 Olympics. I think the Cigs were, I think people might have fact-checked that because it's, I think Cigs were pretty much on their way out as far as that mainstream 1984? In 84. I mean, I think I remember that era people not being able to smoke on airplanes. So
was that when that was starting?
Events. Yeah. I don't know. I do remember seeing some smoke in sports venues in the early 80s. But anyway, I'm going to go with the Marathon Cigarettes. Fact check.
Go with it.
That is correct.
Huzzah.
That is correct. And
you're so good at this, Ron. And,
God damn it.
And Ron,
he's on my team.
The bonus points, you're saying... You're saying it was rated false? Is that true? How are you rating the fact check?
I'm
going
to say yes, false. I want to say false.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
Damn.
All right.
Wow.
Don't try and pull anything on Ron. He'll see through you.
Seriously,
there is the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics. There is a list of official sponsors, and you can't find Marathon or any cigarette brand is not on that list. It's false. However, there is a history of tobacco companies sponsoring the Olympic Games that started in 1920.
Yeah,
for a while they absolutely did. Ads were prominent in official programs, and they would get Olympic athletes to be in their ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen old photos of sprinters, with a cigarette in their mouth. It's,
right,
craziness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and still
that's how you do it.
Outrun the fuck out of me,
even with.
All right, your last one.
Yeah, Poncho's
already got his wet
food.
He's
great.
Okay.
This is going to decide whether...
We'll make this one for Elska.
Ooh,
okay. Elska's not part of the organization. Well, this is the first anybody has ever heard
of
Elska.
She's not on the incorporation papers?
The Russians might have something to say about that.
I think she is a spy. She just sits under the bed and listens to conversations. That's it.
She reports everything.
Suspicious.
She's reporting everything.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck you, Poncho.
Okay, are you ready, Ron? Either
right.
40 out of 44 ex-President Trump cabinet members have not endorsed him for president, or this is the first election since 1976 without a Biden, Bush, or Clinton on the ballot.
Wait, what?
Okay, I'm pretty sure both of these are actually completely true.
Yes.
Which one has been fact-checked? okay, I am going to go with... this is the first time since 76, no Bush Clinton.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one, even though I know it's true.
It's definitely true. I think it's been
fact-checked because it sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
Somebody had to fact-check it.
It sounds dumb, though.
I would like to tell you you're correct.
Uh-oh.
So I will. That's correct. That is correct. That was the one fact-checked, and it is a true fact. It is a true fact. Yep. The first election since 76, because 80 had Bush Sr. as vice president, and so did 84. 88 had Bush Sr. as president.
That's 92 crazy.
Had both Bush Sr. and Clinton. 96 had Clinton. 2000 had Bush Jr. 2004 had Bush Jr.
Yeah.
2008 had Biden.
Yep.
2012 had Biden. 2016 had Hillary Clinton.
That's crazy.
2020 had Biden.
Yeah.
Do you know what that says? That says that we are no longer ruled by the people. We are ruled by an elite class.
Yep. That's
we have royal families.
We no longer have an actual democratic republic.
Hold on.
Whoa.
We've always been ruled by an elite class. Classism has always been at the heart of our government.
Since the beginning of society.
It's
true.
Five people coalesce to live in that cave. It starts right there.
Whoever has the gold makes the rules.
True.
Right. Exactly.
That's true.
All right, Ron, thanks for kicking ass today. What a shout out. And even
you're too good for this. You've got to stop.
Two bonus points.
Yeah. Well, could you please maybe get one wrong once in a while, make the rest of us look okay?
Yeah, right, Ron? How could you?
Sorry.
How could you make everybody else look bad? All right, let's wrap things up with some feel good news.
Let's go for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for
Yeah.
Man.
I liked it.
What is
it's
going
so nice
on?
I played it twice. I keep clicking buttons.
Nice.
My finger's twitchy today. All right.
Button clicker.
So I don't know if you missed it button with clicker. All of the fervor over Olympic boxers and plants that can talk, but there was a historic prisoner swap that
there
happened
was.
With Russia.
It made me cry.
It took several years to come together. And a bunch of reporters that Russia had imprisoned, Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, Russian-American journalist Alsu Kermasheva, five other citizens from allied nations all got released by the Russians in return for some Russian prisoners held in Germany, the U.S., and elsewhere.
Hells yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although I was told only a certain Mr. Trump could negotiate such a deal.
Only he could do it. Only he.
Only him.
You're right.
Which,
only him.
Darn.
Which
most of these people were in prison while he was president, so I don't know why he didn't do it.
Why didn't he?
Yeah, didn't,
why?
Too busy
didn't he? Maybe.
To me, the difference,
wow.
the real... One of the big differences right now in Republican Party and Democratic Party is the Biden administration not only negotiated this release, they added eight Russian political dissidents and activists who were jailed by their own country. They
got a huge win.
Russian citizens with American values freed.
That's
class.
Awesome.
That's class.
Absolutely.
That is definitely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
He didn't have to do that. That didn't gain him anything politically. And that's something Trump could never understand.
Nope. He would not.
Could never understand.
Yeah,
planting a tree to provide shade for the next generation is not something he would ever understand. And that's one of the reasons why I find the Republican politics so abhorrent these days.
Yeah.
Is
when
you pick a leader
Agreed.
who can't follow kindergarten
Who's looking
rules.
Out?
Yep.
Which no, just
that's awful
just
for everybody.
I just want to say, for the party that says every woman has to have babies, you can't look out for the future of said babies. Fuck off. A, right. I don't have to have babies to look out for their future. And B, just fuck off. This guy's literally looking out for our futures. And you're right, Dan. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I had read recently that Biden had waited to back out of the 2024 election until this deal was sealed. That it was literally an hour after the deal was written and inked and signed and done is when he announced that he was out.
Yeah. Is that badassery or what? He's like, nope, I'm getting this done.
I have a lot of respect for him. Yeah.
Mic drop. Literal mic drop.
Yeah.
Because he's more concerned about what we're going through. He's one of the few, I think, that as a politician didn't sell out. Like, it not, at least in what we can see. You know, he does so much more to actually make our country better and not just give it lip service.
I wish he would toot his own horn a little more.
Yeah, right. It would have helped.
He's getting a little bit better, but he's also he is old and he's probably tired.
He is old.
I'd like to point out he could easily pardon his son. Trump pardoned people like Arpaio who were convicted of real crimes, and he just pardoned because he likes the guy.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Biden could be pardoning people like crazy, but he's not. He's got class. Yeah. He's got class. Yeah. He's a good leader.
Right. It's a shame. He knows that they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm.
It's a shame he didn't run in 2016. I do got to put an end to this feel good left wing circle jerk. Get it back to regardless of your politics, you should be celebrating this American victory.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Damn right.
Absolutely.
This is a victory for America to celebrate.
100%.
I think Mr. Trump was congratulating Putin on this deal today.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He was saying this. What a great deal he negotiated.
Uh-huh. I want to fucking throw up.
Well, to be fair, his deal in Greece included murderers and assassins. So, who got the better deal?
Anyway,
wait,
I don't know.
I'm
now
I'm feeling good. Thanks, Ron.
Should I edit that part out, or should I let people be informed?
Can you just edit
that
out?
Yeah, we should edit that out.
Make it feel good.
Okay,
and you know
what? I am going to edit it out. But I'm going to leave the part. It's going to cut straight to you saying, can we just edit that out? So now nobody will know what brought us all down
well, we
and made us miserable. That was like, we're supposed to end on a feel good. Damn it. Anyway.
Dan, you and your editing skills, I don't put it past you.
We do have to bring the show to a close. We're super long. I'd like to thank the Knights Templar, killing in the name of God, one holy land at a time. The Knights Templar. Looks like we don't have any time left for that secret technique 9 out of 10 trust fund babies use to get rich. I think it's their trust fund.
Well, you have to be a trust fund baby first, Amber.
Well, where do I sign up for a trust fund?
You got to be a trust fund.
You know what? You have to sign
Can
up
get
for
one
your
of those
parents,
at Walmart?
And I don't think Dad ever got the forms.
Damn it.
Dirty bastard.
Yeah. Sorry, folks.
That tracks.
We don't have time to talk about it as we proceed to start talking about it. I need to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Anybody have any final words, thoughts, or phrases before we say goodbye here?
Shit, after all that. Be kind.
Yeah.
No.
Kind?
Take a deep breath when you get angry. That's
slow
what
down.
3-year-old told.
Slow down.
3-year-old said yesterday, "You're angry. You should take a deep breath."
There you go.
And,
and
hold it.
That's right.
You win back. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us, you know what to do. Tell somebody that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com, over on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, you can show your support over Patreon or halfcocktails.com/shop. A lot of great branded merchandise there. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by, and go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.